Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. Welcome. It starts nowhere, in where you feel flat, one line with earth. It starts when you start seeing you, even in you. It moves when your breath becomes alive from dearth. It moves when you form and become from the lowest places you'll ever go. It starts when you see that chained you to a rusty anchor. When flushing with watery air the filters that covered your wants and desires. It is imagined when you sleep because there you are you. What will you feel when you wake up and smell the freshness of coming to life? It flows when you let the shackles off, preparing at the track. Moving from a setback to an outburst of your you, and you sprint, bursting into the highway to everywhere. הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandment of expressing love to your neighbor, your friend, your gardener, your partner in the same way that you express love to yourself. Shalom, and this is your journey.
Yeah.
Shalom. Well, now I can hear you.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Let's get closer here and I'll get you the mic a little up. Welcome. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist with Tibetan Bowls for you who are ready to reclaim your power. And I'm glad, I think it's an understatement, but to have here a wonderful person that I met recently, Gali Cohen. Hi, Gali.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you. And
happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy that you're here too.
Exciting.
And I asked Gali how she would like me to introduce her. And it was beautiful. The answer was just comprehensive of everything. Gali is a spiritual guide, a spiritual person who is working a lot with women. And this is a wonderful entry for this new era that we are in, this transformation of moving from the oppression and really a shift of our consciousness, shift of our understandings of how things are. And we see the rise of the awareness of people, right? And you're leading a women's circle, but we'll talk about that. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. Excited. Nervous as well. Mm-hmm. All the same.
Nervousness is good. It's those butterflies in the...
Yes.
Yeah. I have them every time I come. It's fun. So, Gali, you're originally from Israel, right?
Yes.
And so tell me, what brought you here?
Well, I met my husband about 30 some years ago in Israel. Mm-hmm. And about 6 months after we were boyfriend girlfriend, he already bought a ticket before actually I met him to mm-hmm. come to travel in America. And so he decided to travel, and then he said, you know what, come over here, you have to come. So I joined after a couple of months as he was traveling around, and that was it.
That was it.
We got married here and had two beautiful children.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And here, today's, we just talked a little bit before we started about the connection of and the theme that comes into this weekly portion, mm-hmm. but how it manifests in our daily life and how it integrates with what we do every day,
mm-hmm.
and Parashat Bashalach, as he sends, and really it's about the Pharaoh that he sends Israelites. It really talks about really the whole umbrella, if you will, of the parasha is really security, mm-hmm. meaning security in the faith, in the mm-hmm. Faith in ourselves, faith in God, faith that we don't know, that we all this in all this existence is only a frame in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. That we are not really understanding of the full capacity that each one of us holds, and we are at the eve of Tu Bishvat.
Yes,
we are at the Tu Bishvat, which is Tu Bishvat is the 15th month of the month of Shvat, and it is the we call it the birthday for the trees, mm-hmm. right? Because up until now, most trees they display this the loss of leaves. Not every tree displays that, but the loss mm-hmm. of leaves. And you look at the winter, the tree, and the tree you can think it's dead, or you know, if it doesn't have any tree, any leaves. And then in the summer, when the days are longer, the trees start blooming again, and bring the leaves out, right? So the days are longer, so the tree needs really warmth and light to exist, right? The sun, and we also as human, and this is a big lesson that we have for us, that we as humanoids, we need warmth and light,
yeah.
And the warmth is the nurturing environment, the environment that there is no judgment, that sees the person as they are, right? And the light is the spiritual understanding, the understanding that everything physical has a spiritual reason, spiritual. And the reason I'm bringing this aside from the program is because you told me that age 24, you've diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
indeed. And that was quite a journey since then. Mm-hmm. So this is like rising from the ashes, if you will.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was an incredible journey.
Can you share with me how did you feel? I mean, did you understand the capacity of what it is when you were diagnosed with this? I mean,
well, initially it started just here and there, several symptoms through winter time.
Mm.
And some stiffness and joint pains. And gradually it started, it became a 24/7 chronic pain, that was part of my life as in a physical form. So, but that led me to a wonderful spiritual journey.
So you went through a lot of, I would assume you went through a lot of treatments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, medicine, injections. Yeah. I took about 19 years medication, injection on a weekly injection. Oh, wow. And
did that help?
It helped somewhat to ease pain and some stiffness. Yes, it did. But in general, yeah. the pain is there. I learned to accept it, and it become part of me as embracing that pain and embracing that pain. And when I embraced that pain, the pain didn't control my daily life.
Mm.
As to speak.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't. So at first, was it kind of, were you in this place of succumbing to the pain? Were you, did you find yourself that you couldn't function because of the pain? Or
yeah, many times I would lay in bed for sometimes days, sometimes weeks, or I had in a part of my life that I could not even drive. I had to figure out how to have the switch of the key.
Yeah,
I could not even do very simple task in life that very simple task in life. So to open doors, a water bottle, you know, simple things.
So what did that? So, to what understand? Like, what did you arrive with that? What understandings did you get from that? What?
Well, I tried many things in the conventional medicine, and I realized that conventional medicine has its own positive things in life, and it helps for many, many diseases and so on. But I realized that it must be through the mind, and how the connection between the mind that creates this type of feeling, because every time I would think about the pain would grow.
Mm-hmm.
So
to come to this place, and this is really what I do here, what mm-hmm. I try to bring to share, is really challenging our perception, right? Mm-hmm. It's like going to a gym for the imagination.
Yeah.
It's really a whole different ballpark.
Yeah.
But to come to that, I find that to come to that place of understanding that it is a map that you can... you can actively actually do something, you have to go through something. So there is something, was that, do you feel that being in that pain took you deeper spiritually?
Oh yeah, definitely, most definitely, yeah. I grew up in a very spiritual household. And
spiritual or religious?
Also spiritual.
Okay.
We believed in afterlife,
yeah, okay.
in spirits around us, mm. and that was part of our living. Mm. And also traditional.
Yeah, yeah.
Not too religious.
No, well, we know how that goes when it comes to...
but then, that part was part of me. And my father was a healer. He was hands-on healing.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with it. And I found myself through my journey connecting with that part of... the spirit world, and I meditate a lot, and one day I had a spiritual journey, which I placed a candle in the living room, mm-hmm. a circle, and I sat in the center, and I just opened my heart and meditated. That was the moment that I asked God, please help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here, and... I felt as all the pain gone, just like poof, all gone. That moment there was no pain whatsoever. My body was light like a feather.
Wow.
I could walk without pain because every step that I took, it felt before like a ton.
Yeah,
I felt the weight of my body. And at that moment, I stood up after 5 hours that I was meditating. It felt like 10 minutes. And I stood up. I got some kind of channeling, and
yes.
It was coming in many, many things. There's so much information that I could not even conceptualize that moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I stood up, and I started walking from the living room towards through the hallway towards the bedroom, and the whole space of the hallway became as a tunnel.
Mm.
And
a portal.
I'm awake. It was a portal. I was awake and I'm looking at it and I see a portal. There was no walls. It's just like it was incredible. So I realized it. And when I realized it and like, wow, what it's amazing. The minute I said it's amazing, it's gone.
You didn't try to walk through.
I started to walk in it, but I was so excited. And then it's like, yay. And then it's all gone.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That was one of my spiritual, how do you say?
Experiences. Yeah, yeah.
And I had one experience that I went to a shaman woman. I lay down and she placed on my body all kind of crystals on my eyes. So she put amethyst on both of my eyes, on my third eye. So I could not even see. And while she was chanting, all of a sudden I see myself. I'm high. I'm up there in the ceiling and watching myself and what she's doing. And I can see her walking from one side to the other. Everything. And I was looking at my body. It's like, oh, no emotions, nothing whatsoever. Just looking at myself. It's like, okay, this is your body. This is part of that, of Gali.
Mm.
And that changed me a lot. Yeah.
So what happened after that experience? So when did you recognize how you were coming back or coming down?
So at that journey, I had visions that I was looking at a trunk of a tree. We're talking about trunk of a tree. And this trunk of a tree, very tall, and on the top there was no leaf, no nothing, just a cut tree. Mm-hmm. And on the top there was an eagle. And I was down on the earth looking at the eagle and staring at it, very tall, the tree. And while I was watching it, he's looking at my eyes, and then all of a sudden he comes. Oh, and I hugged the tree because I wanted to hug the eagle. So I hugged the tree, and this eagle all of a sudden come to my body while I was laying down and started to scrape some kind of goo, how do you say, goo?
A goo
of my goo slime from my body, cleansing my body. And I just realized he cleansed my inflammation, because it's an inflammation. And it cleansed my body. And when I woke up from that journey, I felt transformed.
How do you feel now?
I feel great. I do have, you know, my body is producing some kind of physiological, physical symptoms, but it doesn't register into my mind.
Wow.
So it doesn't. It just doesn't. There will be days that I would lay in bed and relax.
Is it different now that we're talking about it? Did you feel any notice in your body as you were coming to the studio, as we were now talking about it? Right?
Because definitely. When there's high vibration, it's all work with that. Definitely. Definitely.
So that's interesting, and thank you for sharing. That's wonderful. So was that your only, not the only, but did you have any other experiences as such that later on, afterwards, after that experience, after that experience with the portal, after that experience with the shaman?
In terms of spiritual experience?
Yes, did you have?
I had a visitation, a spirit visitation sometimes, a few times in my life. So I do sense vibrations. I sense trees. I feel their pulse. I do feel their pulse.
Yeah, so the pulse, yeah.
It's incredible. Well, I see the pulse of everything.
Yeah.
But I'm very connected to trees.
Yeah. You know, I read in one of the science magazines that finally, you know, when they discover things now, something that was known long ago, as we say in Hebrew, "Achshav gilita et America." Now you suddenly discovered America, finally. But the trees are really helping the blood circulation and helping overall health. Very connected, you know. It's you know, I did a photo series of trees at one point, and I was photographing those trees that had their roots really going out of the of the air. So because they're going horizontally, the roots, but they're going up in the air and they are interconnected. And when there is another tree, they move. They're just making space for all the trees to interconnect. It's you would think, oh, that one tree will hit one another. Trees are just entangled in one another.
Beautiful synchronization. Yeah, just right? Beautiful.
And so the work that we do, especially now with a tree, right? You know, we can put a seed of an apple or a seed in the ground, but that won't grow the tree. That will evaporate in no time. It's the environment that we surround ourselves with, the nourishing environment, the judgmentless environment, right? I was distracted because I realized I didn't give the phone number in case whoever is here and listening and want to call in and to share their experience,
Wonderful.
their beautiful experience. 323-203-0815. And so the tree, so the environment that we grow, right? And the work that we do is we'll talk about the work that you're doing with the Sacred Women's Circle. Mm-hmm. But really is to cultivate a nurturing environment, especially after a trauma, after something that happened, after a breakup many times, mm-hmm. losing the north, so to speak, the North Star. And then the toxic environment that we may be involved in or the negative environments mm-hmm. produce decisions from that place. You know? And I've been talking about this with different people this week about the Me Too, I don't have to call it a movement or whatever, but that started a while ago, right? And what did it start from? The Me Too?
Yeah, what's that?
Me Too. Well, you didn't hear about that?
No.
So it started really with women that came out about the Hollywood men oppression on women sexually, mm-hmm. right? And abuse and taking abuse of power and just, or not power, just the oppression of the sexual intention on women. So mm-hmm. it started from there, and then it spawned to different areas, men as well, right? Mm-hmm. And it spawned to different areas, but it was really to remove, to eradicate the oppression, the abuse, mm-hmm. the entitlement that we can that as men in the representation, especially in Hollywood, we're comfortable doing without any recourse, right? And so it starts with that, that ideal, with that of eradicating this, because especially in everything comes now in this time, in this where we are. Where there is a feminine empowerment, mm-hmm. right? But then the interesting thing happened that I noticed is that when there is no healing with the masculine, with the men mm-hmm. or the representation of men, then, and there is isolation, let's have only women's group. We don't want to deal mm-hmm. because up until now we've been told what to do. Now we want to gather our power and strength and come together. And I say that when we are we do peace with countries that we are quote unquote at war with, right? And that's where the healing has to happen. It's in the both sides, not in the isolation, not in the separation, but coming together. And I've seen that when there is not that healing, it goes to the head. Mm-hmm. It goes to the head, and there is a lot of power.
It's become radical more as to actually to put people together.
Yeah.
So
how do you experience in you're doing the Sacred Women's Circle?
Let's start with that we are part a feminine and a masculine, yes. Each one of us.
Yes.
This is part of us. And so first it's about balancing both parts within us. And when we balance the masculine energy within us and the feminine energy within us, then we can bring it to the world and feel the comfort, the comfortable with that mm-hmm. for both energies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when people usually, when they talk about balancing, they talk about 50-50. But balancing is not necessarily 50-50, because one time it could be 70-30, one time it could be 60-40.
It's about acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
It's about the acceptance. It's not a measurement. Okay. There's no measurement. We have part of those too, but it's about measurement. Just like balancing it. Yeah.
So how do you? So tell me about the group that you're on. How did you start with that? How did you come to that?
So I did start it about after I had this revelation.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh my God! Almost 19 years ago,
uh-huh.
And so I started having. So back then, my body was still not able to do certain things physically. So I thought, what kind of exercise I'll do for myself to just strengthen my body elongate the muscle and strengthen the joints. And I said, okay, I'll go and study belly dancing because it's about rotation of joints and strengthening the muscle. So I started, I studied for a while and I fell in love with it. So
did it help you with
oh
the,
my God.
Right, the movement?
Tremendously,
right?
Tremendously. And after the class, I loved it so much. I went to at the gym and I went to like a small room and I was practicing myself every day. Really strong. And after a few months in the gym, people asked me, are you a teacher here? And I was like, really? Are you thinking like me, a teacher, belly dance?
And why not?
It's like, I can give a class here for free. So I did. I said, okay, let's see what's come up. I spontaneously didn't think about it so much. And that sprung the spiritual belly dance.
Oh, really?
Classes that I did back then.
Spiritual belly dancing.
Yes.
Now that's an interesting concept.
Yeah. So yeah. So that was balancing between the right and the left.
Yeah.
Because also part of my body, my left side is more how do you say?
Is more affected.
Affected. Thank you. And so I was working on balancing both sides through chakra dancing. So it was beautiful. Oh, I loved it.
Do you still do that? Do you still teach that?
No, I stopped for quite some time.
Oh.
And at the end of the class, we would do meditation. And it's about all visualization and affirmation of acknowledgement of our body, appreciating our body, appreciating our senses, and appreciating the world, acknowledgement of the world. It's about just like... loving the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that was...
loving the world, you know, we started the program with V'ahavta l'racha kamocha, express love to yourself, to your neighbor. And the focus really of that sentence is really first on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Kamocha. First, so there are three sections. First on ourselves.
Yeah.
And all the things that we can share and we can talk about, how we express, how do we appreciate ourselves, how we see our gifts, how we trust in where we are, mm-hmm. and that where we are is where we exactly need to be, and what are the opportunities of a situation. And then we express love to the other person. And according to Judaism, in expressing love, the first thing is to wish the good things for the other, just like you wish the good things for you, which is the easier and more practical way of expressing love. I wish for you all the good things that I wish for myself and can spread out. So it starts to become a mantra of recognizing that I want for the other person the same, the good things that I want for me. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So that is sound. Have you done sound healing, sound therapy before?
Yes. Yeah.
Sound work. Yes. Yeah. Did you, were you in ceremonies, like group ceremonies, private ceremonies?
In group ceremonies, yes.
In group ceremonies. So, as I shared with you earlier, the different, I work with Tibetan bowls. So different bowls have different frequencies that target different energy points in our body. And because each part of our body has a frequency, our livers, our kidney, our skin has a frequency. So we apply the frequency that is healing and rejuvenating, that is the same frequency of that either cell or an energetic spot.
Mm.
So this bowl, for example, is 285 hertz. The uniqueness of that frequency is that it's designed for physical cuts, for example, or wounds.
Mm.
So it sends messages both to the cell and both to the mind. All right. And so really what is happening here is what we're talking about is mind hacking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we're applying binaural beats. So we'll use one ball in one place, one ball in the other, and our mind will create the interval.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the third interval, the third frequency that is actually creating additional healing, right? And so...
would love to hear it.
Well, you're going to feel it. That's what.
Oh, yes.
Well, do you have any? Let's put it on the left here, hand where you don't have a ring.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like that. Yes, like that. Wonderful. Okay. So don't hug it. Just straight. No, no. Keep just your hands. Straight your hands and relax your hand onto my hand. So you don't have to. Yeah. Just you don't. So you don't have to put any work or. So let's close your eyes.
Body.
So you did you feel any place where it did not flow through?
To my feet.
Yeah.
But I felt a sense it all the way going up. But from my hand, my
from your belly up, from your abdomen
from the belly up.
Up,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you didn't feel it going down?
No.
Yeah. So we see sound is the only modality really that will indicate if there is something going on without you either even saying it or knowing what it is. So when it doesn't flow, that's usually an area that will start narrowing. Yeah. But this is a small example. This is, you know, it's a repetition. So when you lay down and you have 20 or something bowls that I work with to just with you and on you, then there is really a difference. And you know, I don't know if you heard.
It's exciting. I'd love to.
Did you hear about the Rife technology?
No, I'm not familiar with
it. So it's a Rife machine. It's Raymond Rife. It was in the 30s that he came up with a system that is really healing with sound, and it's feeling through the hands and sending different frequencies. So it's really. And in the 30s, there is a claim, but of course, pharmaceutical probably won't put it, that he cured cancer with in the 30s with this technology by finding the frequency. Now, what happened this year in Israel is that they injected rats with live cancer cells, and then they found the frequency of that cell, increased the mass, and right, so explodes. It's just like a singer that she sings to a certain
pitch
and the glass shatters, right? So she reached the glass frequency, increased the mass, and then it exploded.
Wow.
Right? So sound is really the ultimate medicine, because everything is with sound. Another thing. Arthritis, right? I work with patients that have arthritis, that have a patient that passed away from cancer, but what she was at that stage, I came late in her stage. Mm-hmm. But what happened, she was taking medication by the hour, every time for pain. And then to hear that for 8 or 10 hours, she didn't have to take any medications. Or patients that is with MS that sits on a chair and then the next day she walks without assistance.
Wow.
And there are, and we have everything here. We have all the healing here from plants, herbs, the frequencies, the sound. You know, even in Mount Sinai, when they got the Torah, Hem ra'u et ha'kolot. It says they saw the sound.
Wow.
So, and one more thing I wanted to ask you. Did you try apitherapy?
Api?
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
So.
What's that?
I shot in Rhode Island a film, I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
An older man in his 90s that he would treat people and he cured his rheumatoid arthritis at 75 with bee venom.
A bee venom.
So he treated people with bee stings. And he treated his arthritis with bee venom, and he would have the bees, you know, now the bees are in an kind of an extinct almost.
Yeah,
but that's really what it is, what he did. And he was treating it with bee venom, and bee venom, really, what it does to immune system, it boosts it to like 150%, 200%. And you would treat it first to see if you're allergic to that. And if not, they will treat it in certain specific areas. When he passed away, he was 99. And he cured his rheumatoid arthritis at 75.
Wow, that's incredible.
Just from bee venom.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, and so I heard that there is somebody in California that does that.
I wouldn't be inclined to.
You would not?
No, I'm scared. Although I enjoy, and then I want to use any natural medicine, but
no. Well, I mean, you know, these are all healing. You know, we talked about different plants and different.
Yeah.
I mean, they all have properties.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's all. So, tell me more about your work with women in the sacred group. I mean, as much as you can without. How do you, so you started that, what, 20 years ago, you said?
So, about 18
years ago. 19 years ago,
yes.
Right?
And,
And do you do it at the house? Do you do it at the home? Do you do it in a public place?
I converted the garage
studio.
And I took a few places as well. And, life took me to a different direction as well.
Yeah.
So, now it's time to start again and reignite that part.
Yes. Yeah.
I studied homeopathy 25 years ago, so all about natural medicine.
Do you work with tinctures, cordials?
So it's pills, but it's all it's just sugar pill that has the substance in them. So in homeopathy, it's all natural. It's minerals or also bee or snake or. But it's such a low dosage.
So because it's on a pill, you'll take it. That's
the thing.
So I have just to change your.
And for the homeopathy, it has. It's really about resonating mind, body, and soul. It's about the general information of the person or the spirit within, and it's all natural. So yeah, I do use it for myself and for people. And
this is, you know, the way that we enter our body and how we treat. Let's begin with how we treat Earth and how we treat everything and how we are. Spitting into the whale we ate from or drank from, right? But really, it's there is a broken connection between, and I feel that the intersection between the food and how we treat the food and how we treat the earth, which in turn treats our food. There is this broken connection, meaning like as if it's not part of us. You know, it's like as if it's all we can do whatever, and it's. We are here. This is there. It's going to be here forever. That's okay. We can do this, and we can take care of what we want, how we want, when we want it. And this past weekend, I had that at my house. Dr. Shiva, Vandana Shiva. She's from India, and she's really a big activist. And we had a talk about the agriculture, about the ecological and how we are treating our food and how we are working with the land and how we are poisoning the land. And she came from India, and she's talking about the thousands of farmers that are committing suicide because of all these pesticides that these companies are forcing them to get for their farms. They're not producing any crops, and then they're stuck without being able to support their family. So they go to their fields, they drink that pesticide and commit suicide. And so, and it's devastating. And it's really the connection that we have. How are we thinking about about even our connection, because it's the relationship between us two.
Yes. In between people and the environment and this earth that bound to time and need to be treated with love and care.
So and how is your family life in that? How is your husband? Is that also, is this a joint journey? Is it I'm doing my thing, I'm in this place? I mean, how is it?
He's a contractor and I help him with work as well. And but he is supportive with you. He's seen me through spirituality all my life, so yeah. And he supports me. He's more on the practical
realm
and living. I don't know if you're familiar Burning Man.
Yes.
So we do kind of fun stuff and spontaneous and living from the heart and joyful and
it's cool.
So yeah, we do.
So you go to Burning Man. I've never been to Burning Man.
Oh, you should.
I need to go. Maybe this year I'll go.
It's going to be on your bucket list. I'm serious.
Yeah, it's
just incredible. That's the place of spontaneity. Just like being, total being. Just speaking about the world, how to see the world.
Yeah.
Over there, it's just like there's no money exchange. And there's all creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And people share their heart and their creativity. And welcoming everybody.
Yeah.
And just so beautiful, so beautiful.
They have a small one in Israel. Have you been there?
Yeah, I know.
Have you heard about it?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's... I've never been to either one. So
around May, I think.
May they do that, yeah. Yeah, because then it becomes flooding in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
So so you have... So you have two kids, 20 and 11,
mm-hmm.
right? And
I think my daughter is somewhere.
She's waving. the camera is there.
Oh, hey. It's like I'm looking here. Hey. How do I refresh it? It's like this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's there.
Yeah.
And so did you have this, so if your daughter is, so I think the youngest child would be in the midst of your journey as you shifted, is that right?
In the shift between.
Between.
Yes, in between, yeah.
And the 20-year-old was throughout. So
yes.
how is that relationship? Did you notice what kind of changes did you have? Was it different afterwards, after your experience, than it was before? Your with your spiritual understandings, did your relationship with your 20-year-old got better, got more? How did it go?
With my young one, first of all, I was about 10 years wanted to have a child, to conceive with my first child. So when we had her, it was a miracle.
Mm.
And back then also doctor said you cannot have children with your condition, you're not going to be able to carry the child.
Mm.
And I said I'll find a doctor that will say yes. And anyway, so I, for me, the whole pregnancy part, I was so connected to her growing inside my body and just like longing for it.
To be
with us and experience life. So always I told her, it's a privilege that you chose me as your mom.
Yeah.
So I see that as a privilege too, that our kids chose us to take care of them, because they are small. We are the one that's going to teach them, show them the world, and what we teach them and show them the world, that's going to affect them.
Yes, that's
in
true.
In their life, so...
And the more we are connected to ourselves, the more authentic upbringing that we can bring to them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for coming in today. See, wasn't that bad?
Wow, I was so shivering, scaring, but I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you so much for coming, nice Gali Cohen. And is this circle a public circle? Is this something that you want to you advertise, or is this to specific women that are coming to you? Because
it is a public circle. If
so, do you have a website address for that? Do you have how to reach you if you want?
I started the event a couple of weeks ago, and I posted on Facebook and Eventbrite. And it's called Sacred Women's Gathering.
Sacred Women's Gathering, and here in LA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for bringing you here. And
thank you for
thank you for being here, for continuing this journey, the journey to happiness, the journey to awareness, the journey to you. Welcome to you. Have a wonderful week. I'm Ilan Azulay. Bye-bye.
לא, הם לא צעירים, הם ביחד כבר המון. היא איבדה את האור, הוא איבד את הדמיון. לפעמים במטבח דרך כוס קפה היא חושבת שהוא עדיין די יפה. הוא נזכר איך נגע בו בלילה הראשון. בעיניה זורח מבט אחר, הוא כמעט אומר לה אבל מבטר. היא עדיין חידה, אולי הפתרון. ובחלום כמעט עולה הבוקר, כל כך הרבה דידות יש בעולם וביניהם רק התקווה תאיר אותם בחושך. הם לא יודעים, הם לא ידעו אף פעם אם השער נפתח בטוח אל האושר.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.